Blog Clearly, we are like the sun, shining. Hello and welcome to Awakenings. And this is a bit of Golden Sun by musician, shaman, and healer Thunderbeat from the Ancient Sun CD. And I'm your host, Michelle Michaud. I hope all of you are having a wonderful flow day. I love playing that. I'm really into my music these days. Those of you that are just tuning in or surfed into Awakenings, Awakenings is part of the converging flow that has evolved out of the harmonic convergence. Awakenings is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on grounding the spiritual process of awakening. Awakening is us, in a sense, to follow our divine tickle and to, as I like to say, begin to emanate that which is truly our divine soul's purpose. And we find that by connecting, by tuning in, and just becoming awake. And that awakening is a succession. There's not simply just one awakening. There's many awakenings. Awakenings Radio hosts dialogues and interviews with spiritual teachers, healers, conscious experts, visionaries, and awakened leaders, authors, conscious beings of all walks of life that are awakening or awake and integrating this awakened state into their everyday lives. Awakenings airs every Wednesday and Friday, 12 p.m. Pacific time. And you can catch the archive downloads on iTunes. You can subscribe via iTunes, our RSS feed, as well as Audio Podcast Alley and other podcast stations. We also broadcast live via CosmicDimensions.com. If you'd like to call in for questions or comments or just to share your path of awakening or perhaps give us some feedback, you can call 47-539-5122. And this is a place where we're kind of affirming and confirming the truth of who we are. So I hope that as you're waking up, you're tuning in and connecting. We also have the chat room, which has been renamed by some wonderful chat participants. It's a sacred space of empowerment. And it is really that. And you can listen via chat. You can listen via click to listen, or you can listen also by phone, again, which is 347-539-5122. It's also the number. If you would like to comment in the chat, what is needed is to register. It's kind of just keeps the familiarity there, and registration is really, really simple. I think it's just your email and a username and that kind of thing. And that allows people to connect in the chat room, and then you can be part of that conversation. And it's really, we get a lot of, you know, we're on Twitter also at Awakenings Tweet. It's Awakenings and then Tweet, T-W-E-E-T. The people that tend to come to the Sacred Space of Empowerment or chat room are very connected beings, very consciously on a path, and very welcoming and embracing. And I feel that and see that, but I also get the feedback in comments and emails that when new people come, they're like, oh my God, people were so nice in the chat room and so helpful and answered my question. And because also a lot of people that are listening are very awake, very aware, and very open to sharing their insight, their understanding, as well as answering questions. Or, you know, and wonderful sometimes chat, and maybe We've had situations where someone has crossed over or there's an illness, you know, a major challenge, and right away the people in that chat room, that sacred space of empowerment, start doing healing work or giving their intuitive take or suggesting perhaps something maybe, you know, nutritionally or supplementally, or hey, call me or email me and you know, we'll support you on this. So it really is a space for support, and it's really needed in these all times, but really in these times of transition and change and individual and collective awakening and initiation, if you will, and transition, it's great to have a space and to come to connect in, and also to receive, you know, as well as to give. It feels, you know, the giving and the receiving are both, you know, it's the same flow really. And those that are very receiving can be very open to giving. You know, that keeps a wonderful flow of energy, which is another form of healing. When we have an open flow of energy, we're in that space of healing, which is wholeness. You know, to heal comes from the word ohalen, which simply means wholeness. So when we talk about healing, we're talking about wholeness. And the more whole and complete that we are, the more aspects of self that we're integrating, the more complete and the more fulfilled. The more fulfilled we are, the more filled we are with light. And that's the whole idea. You know, it's wonderful when you go back and look at derivations of words as far as you can. You can see that many of them have spiritual implications and understanding. You can see that many words that we use are about connecting in to our true nature or to spirit. The breath, it comes from inspiration or inspirar, which means to inspire. And when we inspire, we're drawing in the spirit, the spiritual energy. So it's interesting to look at that. Then you really begin to see our true nature or where we're coming from. You begin to really see our roots, that our roots are grounded, literally grounded in spirit. We are consciousness made manifest. Something so important, I think, to remember. And one thing I'm finding too, you know, when things get a little, you know, down or uncertain, it's a really good idea to remember that you are spirit. I know that sounds like it was a cliche-ish, but if your spirit made manifest that you are energy in motion, that you're a vibrational frequency that has morphed into shape and form, that you're a fractal of light energy in motion coming from a vibration, you're formed from a vibration, when you start thinking in those terms, it's very easy to make changes. It's difficult to make changes when we feel that we are locked into something. So in other words, if my beliefs are very heavy and where I get very heavy and, you know, it seems very difficult, or if a belief feels very entrained or ingrained, what you can begin to do is see it more as energy, connect more into the energy pattern. It's much easier to move energy around than it is to move something that we perceive as solid. And that's part of where we're really going into this collective initiation or awakening, is in remembering the truth of who we are and celebrating that and sharing that. That becomes the new reality. Because what is reality is what is reinforced. So if we're reinforcing a more complete reality, a more truthful reality, then that's the reality that begins to take shape and form predominantly. Now, what's very interesting, a lot of, you know, I get a lot of questions, whether from clients or people from workshops or even some emails from listeners, questions and also a sense of heightened fear of, oh, if I'm not very evolved or if I have fear thoughts, I'm going to create what I'm fearing. I'm going to draw that in. I'm going to draw that to me, which is kind of a misunderstanding of the law of magnetic attraction. It's only the predominant that are made manifest or the ones that have the most emotional charge or intensity. So a little thought here and there is not a big deal. Catching something or going through a depression or being afraid of something or a worry on a non-chronic state is really not a big deal. It's the chronic states that begin the entrainment, where the grooves, you know, like an old school, you know, album or record, it literally becomes the album of your life. Also, you have to look at what's been entrained on a mainstream level or in the race consciousness. However, if we begin to not see that as a reality, not to ignore it and not to put our head in the sand or say, well, I don't believe that, or I don't want to know about that, because if I know about that, you know, then I'm going to call that in or I'm going to reinforce that. Knowledge doesn't reinforce, you know, what's going on in the world or, you know, even on a news level. If knowledge is not going to create the entrainment. But you can make a concerted intention and focus and effort, if you will, to see the other aspect of what is there. So in other words, we create what we don't want, in a sense, by focusing on what we don't want, okay? So it doesn't matter if we're trying to avoid something or saying, well, I don't listen to the news or I don't do this or I don't do that because I don't want that into my reality. I don't want to call that in. I don't want to reinforce that. It doesn't matter to say that. The fact that you're speaking those words means that that's where your focus has been. So the thing is, we can fool our surface mind and we can kind of fool each other in our talks and our dialogues. However, we can't fool the I Am Center or the universe. The universe, because we're all one and all connected and we are this resonant field, knows where we're resonating and knows where our true intention is. So the way to become unentrained in these patterns or focus, if you don't want to be focused on something, is just to notice and acknowledge where your mind has been focused and refocus it. It's simply that. It's simply to refocus. Then you're not reinforcing the polarity plane and living in that space of duality, creating a duality. Now, that's not to say if it's not a resonant. I mean, there are certain shows or certain things that I don't get into because or watch because it's just, you know, I don't really want to, frankly, I don't really want to hear it. It's not enough of a resonance to me for what I'm co-creating. So that depends. And Crystal's talking in the chat. Crystal Embers is mentioning, well, it depends on how you allow things to affect you. Yes. And also, Crystal is saying that she doesn't support the news because it's so political and dishonest anymore. Yeah. Well, it's different between not focused. In other words, here's the empowerment. If you're not supporting something or looking at something because it's not what you're co-creating or not what you're focused on, different space to come from. And this is a subtle shift, you guys, but this is really because we're moving into living more from that law of resonance or law of emergence by supporting, when what I'm talking about us, the ego, letting the ego personality be aligned to the higher self or expanded consciousness. So when you begin to naturally support what is more life-enhancing for you, or what is reinforcing your inner directive, then you're no longer attracted or attached or concerned about what isn't supportive of you. So it's a subtle shift, but what it does is it allows you to expand out of the polarity plane. The polarity plane is always going to be there, fourth dimensional. It's even part of the fifth dimension. However, when we live in the polarity plane, we continually begin to enact the opposite. So if I have no emotional charge on something or very little charge, I'm not going to keep ping-ponging or enacting the opposite. I'm not going to be contracted and then expanded or be in fear and non-fear as a chronic state. So it's not so much to try to ignore something or not want to go there. It's just to naturally be drawn or allow yourself to be drawn or led to what allows you to resonate at a higher frequency, which is what your true resonance is, whatever your higher self or expanded consciousness is wanting to actualize or to come through you. Whatever consciousness made manifest is wanting to actualize through you. It's just a very, here's an example. It's like why two people can have two different situations or experience two different events differently, because it's our filtering or what we're focused on. So in other words, I can be walking down the street and I'm noticing the flowers and I'm noticing the trees and I'm noticing the people and say, and then somebody else, you know, walking down the street can notice that there's trash on the ground. So it's not, either one is not wrong or right. It's just where is your focused intention? Where is your awareness? And because the nature of the world is, you know, holographic, there's a mirroring and there's an aspect of projection as well as perception. When we stay stuck in the polarity plane, we're operating more from projection than we are perception. So it's just a subtle shift. A subtle shift of awareness allows you to move more into the resonant field in a more expanded way, a more conscious way, if you will. So I'm so grateful and happy to see everyone in the chat, that everyone that is coming in. Blessings to all of you. And I want to just tell you a little bit or share a little bit. I know some of you have already gone to our guests' website, but we're going to be talking with Sonia Barrett, and her work is really a connection or an interlocking, if you will, or weaving between spirituality as one and the same. She's the host of Sovereign Mind Radio program, which can be found on sovereignmindradio.com. That airs on VBS Radio. She's also the co-founder and publisher of the New Corporate Body magazine. She's also the author of The Holographic Canvas, Fusing the Mind and Matter. And she's written many articles exploring time travel, immortality, ascension, as well as presenting workshops in this area also. So she's going to have a lot of insight and information for us. And I'm really quite fulfilled and touched that she was able to fit us into her schedule. Give us a call and connect in with her. And please, if you have any questions, you can put them in the chat as well as call in at 347-539-5122. Oh, and also, okay, Spirit Informed. Sonia Barrett, welcome. You're on the air live with Awakenings.
Oh, great. Thank you for having me on the air live.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I was just sharing a little bit of your background information with our listeners. It's great to connect with you. It's wonderful to have you here on Awakening. So I was saying I'm glad you could fit us into your schedule, because you're quite fulfilled. Your schedule is quite full.
Yes, it is full, but I guess in a good way.
Yeah, I know. To me, the full is the new fulfilled. You know, I like to say full is fulfilled. It's not busy or hectic, but it's fulfilling, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because you can be busy doing a lot of things that you're not enjoying or that you don't want to do, which we've all done.
Yeah. So, now, Sonia, for our listeners, could you share a bit of your background and how this awakening and path emerged for you to write and talk and share in this holographic canvas, if you will?
Well, the journey, to try to put it in a nutshell, the journey for me began probably the day I was born. I was curious, just extremely curious about, you know, the nature of creation and who God was, because I grew up in the church. So I always have to make mention of that. That was my first question. because of everything that I heard in church and all the fear that was projected. And as a child, I remember being a little bit nervous from hearing the minister say that, for example, if you weren't good, you know, Jesus could come like a thief in the night, and then, you know, he would take your parents and you're left behind. So for me, all of those things conjured up all of these questions as to who is this, and why does this, you know, being seem to have all this power and all of that. So anyway, as time went on, in my teenage years, I was very investigative, and set it aside because of, you know, things that I was understanding, and I don't think I was ready for it. Time went on, I went through a divorce, and that was actually the true initiation into discovery, because I had gone through so many things in my life up until that point that I really needed to now stop, and I really needed to get it. I really needed to understand what creation was all about, and I felt that there was a way for me to know without the input of anyone else. So I set everything aside, and I didn't read any books. The only thing that I did read was, I remember reading Shirley MacLaine, Out on a Limb. That let me know that there were other people questioning, like I was. And then I decided not to read anything. And so I spent day and night in focus of trying to pierce this veil, feeling that I could get this somehow without hearing it from somebody else. And over time, that's basically what happened. I was like a child in a candy store once I leapt into this other side that was beyond, you know, the physical, and I realized that everything was encoded with the information of the entire history, entire shebang of what creation was, and that it really was our birthright to be able to understand these things, but we would only understand them according to where we were on our journey, because you're limited for a reason. You go through stages of obvious limitation in order to experience reality as you need to at that moment. So that's what I ended up discovering, and the book came out of all of that.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel the if you can elucidate on that a little bit, that limitation?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you said that it's a form of protection?
No, limitation, when I speak of limitation, I'm talking about just the overall human experience, because obviously in order to live this and to have all of these experiences, because they're all based on emotion, they're based on, you know, electrochemical impulses, which is what we call emotions, feelings. This is a feeling experience.
Yes.
And in order to have the polarity of these, you know, these experiences from one end to the, from one extreme to the other, you would have to be in a limited memory of the largeness of who you really are. Otherwise, you wouldn't have it. So as we expand, we step away from certain limiting experiences. Our choices change as we step up to grander and grander aspects of ourselves. And, of course, you know, consciousness then begins to expand more and more and more. But you can't know that when you are still needing to go through certain experiences that requires you to have less of your memory of who you are.
Yeah. I guess in my understanding too with that, I guess that's, you know, that expanded consciousness that we are, that will turning out or tuning out. You know, there's no sleep. It's you're continuing that space of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
There's continual awareness.
It's continual awareness. It's a never ending.
Yeah.
It's a never ending process, and it's a beautiful dance, as I call it. It's a beautiful cosmic game of creation, just being any and every possible potential that could be, whether we call it good or bad, or however we choose to perceive it at that moment according to where we are in our understanding. It's all this amazing dance and opportunity.
Hi, everyone. I'm back. I'm calling back Sonia. It's very interesting, and I did some major meditation this morning. And of course, Sonia's vibration is very high, as well as everyone in the chat. I'm noticing that thought. Yeah, I had to sign back in. I find certain converging flows when they happen, configurations, if you will, just cause the technology just to go out.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all, as you say, it's all frequency related. It's all vibrational. So it just depends. There's a whole lot more going on there than meets the eye, as I always say.
Yeah.
A whole lot more going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm wondering.
Awareness is expansion. So.
Yep. Yeah, and I keep saying this. I don't know your thought on this, but that we have the somewhat of the old mindset that created the technology that we have now. So we need an up leveling or upshifting so that the newer technology, i.e. computers and certain hardware that doesn't update as quickly as the software needs to be infused with the new. The next bump up. It needs a bump up.
Yes, I think that would be a great idea. I mean, you know, but then we could go into a lot of other things too with the fact that, you know, it's because it is a game. We're dealing with two sides always. You know, a game has to have an opposition. You always have two sides in a game, and this one is absolutely no different. And there are, you know, there are forces or people who
yes.
would prefer that the masses remain completely oblivious and asleep, because it's the only way you can control people, even they don't even know that they're
yeah.
asleep.
Yeah, you know, and you're saying that I have seen in certain topics, or when we're doing sometimes interplane work and on air, that you know, the computer will just keep going down. Well, the switchboard. It's not my computer.
Right.
My computer's my computers are calibrated to something different. And one time, Sonia, I got locked out of my own show.
Oh, that happened to me.
Did that happen to you?
Actually, yeah, no, it happened to me twice, and I was on another radio show, and the host also completely got locked out of his show, but we were really, this was a very deep conversation in terms of what was being discussed.
Hmm.
And we had the show ended like 15 minutes early because he couldn't get back in.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. We had to actually, I think we did it the following day or week. It just wouldn't come in. And you know, you can feel it. You know, you can feel that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely. I mean, when you hear when one single individual jumps or leaps into a heightened level of awareness, everything knows that.
Yeah.
Everything becomes aware of that shift.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's you're consciously aware or not, but we all affect everything. So everything is known, and the opposition is aware, and the frequencies around are aware because. You're stepping into frequencies or vibrations that are not necessarily considered the norm.
Right. It's almost like sending out a sonar disrupt.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a radio signal that says,
Shut them down. We had one time, too, the chat wasn't working, and we had, it was kind of on the old format, the comment stream. It was like people were going to connect no matter what and use the comments. And we were just calibrating at such an expanded vibration. People were literally emailing in that they could feel it coming off their computer, which I can feel now, actually. Here we go. Now we're dialing in. I can feel it. Aren't you glad you came back for this?
I love it because this is the stuff that I've gone through on my show. I've so dealt with this, and I started to finally just learn to relax. At first, I panicked the first time it happened. You know, you panic the first time.
Yes.
And then after that, I just said, okay, here we go again.
Yeah, you know what it is. Yeah, well, me too, because you want to do, you know, good job, and you want everything to flow.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, okay, well.
Yeah, I know. And then you start going, well, what's a good job?
Yeah, exactly.
What
does that mean? That's true. I had, well, Kat, one of the listeners that put that to me and said, you know, it's not only part of technology, but I like what you were saying, Sonia. It is part of that polarity plane, the opposition that is getting, that is bouncing. And
that's the job.
Yeah.
That's what pushes us more. I mean, that is what is so amazing about all of this, because everything and everyone is doing what they need to do. Everything and everyone is actually propelling everybody, each person, to the next level, whether they know it or not. So it just makes me more determined. So good job.
Yeah, good job to you, too. I should have known this would happen.
See, when we get upset about it, then that really plays into the hands, and it's like, oh, good. But now you're laughing about it, and we're like, okay, great. This just lets me know that I'm on the right track.
Oh, I love it. Speaking of that, how would you share with people, how does one know they are on that right track? How do you
Well,
know?
You know, I play around with those words because I'm always like, well, what does right mean?
Well, exactly. There's no right or wrong, but whatever.
What does any of it mean? You know, I think you just sort of know, because there's that resonance. Mm-hmm. There's that resonance. And there are, fortunately, I'm not sure which one it is, but a great many people who are really going in a direction, yes, that for them, they do feel it's the right direction, but it's still another level of limitation, because what you're dealing with different little pockets or what I call one matrix and another matrix and another matrix, which is just another system with another programmed concept. And so you're dealing with all these concepts that become just another program. And I think one way to really identify or really recognize whether you're where you are is really look at what kind of flow am I in. Am I stuck in any one concept that has not evolved for the last 20 years? Yeah, is my belief just stuck here? Because truth is forever evolving. So whatever it is we know right now, and we think we're phenomenal at what we know right now, that's going to expand into something even more expansive. Then we're going to look back, and it's like, you know, playtime, what we thought we were so great at. So it's really looking at that. And I for one, recognize people that are part of, and again, this is not a judgment or knocking anybody, but I'm just identifying this. But people who are a part of an organization, they're going to the same church for 20 and 30 years, you really got to stop and look at this. What could I be possibly getting from this same place for 20 and 30 years, other than the fact that I go whatever that day is that you go on, and it's just an upgrade of the same programming.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. You're just getting, it's a program. So now you're living this program. And there's nothing more interesting than operating by these programs, because they're so subtle that all of your choices, everything you do in your life is going to be based on these programs. And what happens with this is they become limiting.
Mm-hmm.
They are just very limited. And so that then limits you. It then limits your expansion. It then limits how much more you can grow. And you're stuck there, and some people just don't want to hear anything outside of that. So I think those are things that a person has to stop and really reevaluate where they are, if you're still in the same mindset for the last however many years, you might want to stop and evaluate. You know, you're just stopped on the road. You know, and I'm sure you've been through that where you've met people in your life, in your journey, especially on this awareness journey, and you're so excited because you're so on, the two of you, you're saying the same thing and you understand the same thing. And you will find that over a period of time, could be a short period of time, you've grown and you're expanding, and that person is still talking the same language, and you no longer resonate, so those people fall away.
Yeah. I'm glad you speak to this because that's I was receiving from the Oversouls, the spiritual hierarchy, was that be adaptable, be flexible. And I love that you're saying this and speaking this. If you're in the same, you know, group or church, or because isn't, you know, the soul is evolving, the spirit is ever changing or shifting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, Sonia, do you feel that part of this, let's say, individual, and I do want to speak, we do have a caller, so as soon as we finish this thought, I will get to the switchboard also, bring you in on this. Do you feel or sense, and have you been seeing in your way, that this individual and collective, if you will, awakening, is bringing more of that adaptability, more of that flexibility, or perhaps, as you said, not being locked into one thought or mindset or belief or group?
Do I think that it's bringing more of the fluidity in?
Yes.
How is it bringing more of the fluidity in? Gosh, you know, it's kind of a tough question, and I tell you why, because I've seen where there's a new concept going, and that there's a group mind concept that is going right now. But that in itself is very tricky because there's the group mind concept, and at the same time, which can take away from the individual moving, the individual's growth, and that individual then becomes caught only in the movement of the group mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, as an individual, you can expand on your own without anyone. So there is still, I see, personally, I still see that programming concept. I still see people clinging to a program, a set. This is what they get learned today. And they will ride that for the next however many years. Just like trends, just like fashion trends. Today this is in, and as long as it's in, the group is involved in that. If they say red is the color for this year, oh my God, you know, most of the planet's in red.
Yeah.
But if that shifts, you know, if that shifts to something else, then, you know, the group shifts to that something else. That's programming. That's still programming. And fluidity is being able to be okay in not being part of a group.
Right.
But to allow yourself to just flow, and wherever that flowing and expansion is leading you to, you trust the process enough to know that you are not alone, although you may appear to be alone,
yeah,
but you are in the divine flow, the allness.
Mm-hmm.
At that moment, and that's why I said it was kind of tough to answer that, because people operate so much from the group mind, and the group mind is being pushed.
Yeah. Well, and we need both the individuate, because we did individuate out here to kind of do our own thing and
right.
and follow our path. So it's but you know, part of what I'm hearing,
stuck in anything though.
We
that's
do.
What
that's,
it is.
It's we do. Yeah.
Anything that feels good, we just
yeah.
It's kind of like me with cheesecake. I finally, you know, broke the cheesecake habit. And, you know, if you give me a slice, I'm going to have the whole cheesecake. I get addicted. I got to have the whole cheesecake, and I just stay on that trend. But
Part of what I'm hearing you say, that expanded consciousness is in the fluidity, in being in that divine flow, which means, you know, people, you need to be dialed in, you know.
You need to be dialed in and realize that you are dialed in all the time.
All the time.
And it doesn't have to be at 9 o'clock when I do my meditation, yeah. I dial in at that point. It's you live in the dial-in, and I'm not saying that you are, you know, in this amazing, what do you call it, bliss state.
Yeah, thanks for saying that, because
all the time. I don't mean that at all. Everything is the flow. It's the allowingness of yourself that is all part of that divine flow. And I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And I think what happens is we end up making this more difficult.
I love what you say, that it's a divine flow. Let's see our caller, because they do have a question. Comment. Hi, 619-822. You're on Awakenings Live with Sonia Barrett.
Hi, Michelle. This is Alyssa.
Oh, hey, Alyssa.
Hi.
What question or comment for Sonia?
My comment is that I've come to the reality, or not, not the reality, I don't know how to phrase it, but so I have this conversation with my friend Beth, which you've had on your show, and it all comes down to me wanting to go backwards in my education with this, because what it comes down to is us being in this illusion and the idea that this is all an illusion. And like, so now I'm kind of swimming in the enormity of this all on, if this is all an illusion and I'm controlling all of my so-called perceived reality, I mean, how do you break that down? And then, so then it was also, then the final process is us waking up from this illusion, this quote dream state that we're in, and then being one with God, but we can't handle this, so that's why we brought on this dream, per se. So can I go backwards in my thinking somehow? Because I can't handle that concept. To me, it's like, it's not empowering, it's more like we're alone.
Can you speak to that, Sonia? Can you?
And I think that is so true, what you said, that so many people feel that way, even if they never voice it, or even if they don't understand that that's exactly how they feel. And that is the reason why people remain where they are, because change is scary. It is the unknown. What she's talking about is stepping into the unknown and that feeling of, well, what now? If you're saying none of this is real, then what now? What is the point? What is my purpose? What, you know, why am I even existing? And I think that what we have to understand is this, when we say this is not real, okay, this is just one aspect of the experience of life. It's just that when we refer to life, we think of life as just being this life. But when I say life, I'm talking about just that energy, that force that exists in all things visible and invisible. This is just one tiny aspect of that experience. And we did. There is no punishment or any of that why we're here experiencing this.
Yeah.
We are here experiencing this because this is just another beautiful aspect of what could potentially exist. What are the possibilities? It's like you're an artist and you decide, geez, I wonder what it would be like if I took the clay and I did this with it. This is the same thing. It's just that having forgotten, and again, you had to forget, otherwise you would not do this. You would not come and have this experience. How limiting would that be, though, if you came here and you already knew that it was an illusion, complete memory, then there would be no point. You couldn't do it. You couldn't enjoy any of it. It's like pretending, and we are pretending right now, but you would be pretending but so aware that it just would not be possible. So what you have to do is step back. You're going to have to do a little bit of potential reading here. I would suggest picking up a book called The Dancing Woolly Master. For anybody who's
Rich
of
Capra. I love that book.
Yeah, with quantum physics.
Yes,
really
it's one of the first.
It.
Yeah.
It's
an amazing book.
It is
Dancing
amazing
what
book.
Masters?
Woolly Masters. one of the first books I read.
W-U-L-E-E.
I'm putting it in the W and then L-I, Masters. I'm putting it in the chat by Fritjof Capra.
That'll help understand kind of for the left brain.
Well, Dancing Woolies, who's it by again? It's Zhukov. It's actually, Dancing Woolies Masters is by Gary Zhukov.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one from him.
No, isn't it Capra? Let me look.
Dancing. Dancing Woolies Masters is Gary Zhukov. My book, The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter, that takes you through an entire scope of the idea and concept of life as a game and as a holographic projection, Anyway, but it takes you through that process. But don't overwhelm yourself. And if you've ever seen The Matrix also, there's a great scene in there where that one character decides to go back, and he says, I know the stake isn't real, and then he decides that he would rather go back into the illusion than deal with the continuous progression of going into this unknown. So he wanted to go back, which is sort of what you're saying, is that feeling of the past is known. What I knew before is already known.
Yeah.
I would rather stay there because I felt that it was real or whatever my perception was, but I know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But anything else outside of that, now you're asking me to step into the unknown, which could change my life completely and could change all my choices. Well, it's the truth. The more change comes about, but you have to understand that it is not imposed change, and it's gradual. It's not something where suddenly for some people change might feel like that for them, but you are the one making these choices as you go along.
And that's an important thing to remember.
Hello?
That's my
The Holographic
there.
Canvas, The
yeah.
Fusing of Mind and Matter.
Yeah.
And that really, because that's what it is. It's the fusing of mind and matter that's creating what you see before you as physical reality.
Mm-hmm. You want to share a little bit of the book for the listeners, and I'm also going to put it in the chat. What drew you to this project, to this unfolding?
What drew me to the project and the unfolding was, just as I said before, basically curiosity is in it, a strong desire to know. And I'd like the listeners to understand. Go ahead.
Oh, you mean as far as the book, The Holographic Canvas?
Yes. Well, the Holographic Canvas, it's all of my curiosity, my unfolding that led up to this book. So you're basically, when anybody reads this book,
mm-hmm.
they're reading me unfolding into
mm-hmm.
this entire understanding of life as a holographic reality. And what I wanted to say to your listeners is that I did not have a science background. I'm not a physicist in the technical sense of the word. I didn't have any of this information. I just desired so strongly to know. We're just able to see and to understand. So my point is that anybody can do this because it is your birthright.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how strong is that desire to know. I was willing to go ahead and to know. I'm a mother of two kids, and I'd just gone through a divorce. It was a very horrific 14 years of marriage. So it was after that, and that marriage, actually, those circumstances were the propulsion for me.
Mm-hmm.
They propelled me because I now needed something else that was not going to be another human being. I needed to really find some place that I could find solace. And that's how it started for me. I needed someplace else outside of another human being. And I pierced the veil, and I discovered, and I felt, so what I share with others now is the fact that none of us are greater than the other in the sense of me having special abilities or Michelle having special abilities. Everybody has the right to be able to do this. It's who you are. You are already infused with the knowledge.
That's right. And I think what you said, Sonia, was so key, the desire. Because isn't it where we put our attention and our desire?
It has to be. That's right. It's the desire that does it. It's the desire that really kicks it in. And for me, it was like wrestling myself to the ground. It's like a bull, you know. I just held on to the very tight. I just held on with all the bucking and, you know, and the times when I said, oh, my God, I can't do this. I just held on. And it paid off, because then I was able to see, understand, and once you pierce that veil, everything else begins to expand for you. You just have to decide, are you going to continue to go with that flow? Many people get comfortable, suddenly they understand something. And I give the example of, and again, not knocking anyone, but this is an example. People who are psychic, sometimes people stop there.
Yeah.
That is a natural process as you expand. That is just a natural process for that to open up for you. You don't want to just gain something and you're so excited about it, you go, okay, that's it. I'm right there now. I'm just going to be that. You can if you want to, but that is just a minuscule part of the unfolding. Natural abilities. Those are all natural abilities in all of us.
I'm glad you're saying that, and I always say, you know, you've got this obviously the sixth sense, you know, your intuition, but of course being more psychic, coming from the psyche or the soul, it's all natural. And as you're saying, that as you become more awake or more aware, you naturally connect more into that aspect of you.
Absolutely. It all starts to kick in, all of it, you know, telepathy, all of it.
Exactly, telepathy, like animal beings. Mm-hmm. What do you feel that can block people or cause them to stop? And, of course, some maybe that's, you know, what they, you know, that's what they want.
A lot of, there's fear, and then there's just being comfortable because, let's face it, from my experience, it is work. It is commitment, most of all, to continuing to expand. And I think more than anything else, we get comfortable with where we are because that's how we are as human beings. That's why we are here in this reality. We created all of this. We got super, super comfortable in these human bodies. And then, and of course, the forgetting process just got more intense and more intense and more intense. Mm-hmm. So we created all of this and then we just froze it. And then that's, we think that's all of who we are. So that's a comfort level right there. So I think we have to assess that comfort level and, again, the fear of stepping further and further into the unknown. And, again, people get stuck with a belief system. They get stuck with that belief system and they don't want to let it go. You have to be able to allow your perception to expand. Mm-hmm. We can't attempt to put creation in a box into something that's comfortable for ourselves, which I think is what most people do. It's comfortable to have these ideas of creation and limit it, put it in a box. So we have to be able to trust the inner part of us. We have to trust that deeper part of us that it's going to be okay to widen our perception because we're going to be walking in a divine direction. Regardless, as long as we say, okay, I surrender to the greater aspect of myself and I completely trust that, then you just let go. And the letting go process is a challenge for many people. The letting go, because we think we control things and we want to control everything. And so letting go is scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very scary thing to say you're going to let go. You're walking the plank.
Mm.
It's a challenge.
What do you feel people are really doing when they're letting go, though? What is that? We get that term of people a lot saying, "Well, what is letting go or surrender?"
When I say let go and when I say surrender, it's the restriction again, the restriction that we place on what creation could potentially be.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people, again as an example, there are people who say this is blue,
mm-hmm.
Or whatever their belief system is, and they won't look around the corner. They won't allow themselves to see the other side of that. Well, maybe this side might be blue, but maybe the other side might be gray. So people tend to get stuck on just one specific idea and not allow themselves to see the bigger picture. And also, even in your own life, what I have learned with circumstances that I've had to deal with and trying to control it, when I say control it, from the third dimensional
mm-hmm.
automated self,
mm-hmm.
trying to control it from that aspect is very limiting, because the third dimensional part of you cannot see the bigger picture.
Mm.
And so the surrender is surrendering to the more expanded, the more expansive mm-hmm. aspect of you, that part of you that sees through your eyes, that part of you that's actually in this vehicle, having the experience, even though you don't really pay attention to that part of you as strongly, but you're surrendering to that part of you simply because that part of you can see the full scope of what you, in your physical body, in that limited concept, cannot see. And I hope that was clear.
Yeah, and I like what you're saying here, that it's, I think it's important for people to remember that they're surrendering to themselves.
Right.
To that themselves. Right, that aspect that already knows this and is this. It's not mm-hmm. surrendering to something outside of you,
no.
or like even you said earlier, a belief or a mental construct or a group.
Right.
I think that's
right.
really important. We've got another caller. Let's see. Hello, 202-425. You're on the air with Awakenings. Hello? You're on the air with Awakenings. Okay, maybe they're just listening, and if they have a question, they can
right.
press the switchboard.
Yeah, the external thing is definitely a kicker, because we humans are programmed to always look outside of themselves. We look mm-hmm. outside of ourselves for everything, which is why we have what I call the savior program. We're always looking for something outside of us
mm-hmm.
to save us. But it really is about coming home to you, coming home to yourself. And that again, yes, that is the surrender, is to that greater aspect of you, which is source.
It's source, yeah.
Which is source, just another aspect that appears individualized for this experience. But ultimately, it is source. You are the void. You are you are it.
Yeah. We're you are the message you've been waiting to hear, and you're the message and the Messiah and,
right.
and the messenger. You know,
you're all of it. You're
all
of
it.
All of it. Yeah,
it's the cosmic joke
to solve.
yeah, exactly. We're the mystery. We're the solver. We're the solvee. And
the dog trying to bite its tail.
exactly. What a wonderful game, you know.
It is. It's amazing. It's irritating and amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Annoying and
like,
fun. All at the same
time. I love it. Oh, I love it. That's brilliantly put, Sonia. Annoying and fun all at the same time.
Oh, I love it. And I like people to have the permission to, you know, just if however you feel, go ahead and allow yourself to feel that at that moment. As opposed to trying to cover it with what you call positive thinking, because it's not gone. It's still there.
Yeah.
Go ahead and allow yourself to have that experience, that emotion that you're having right then. And then when you're done, you can step away, reexamine, and I guarantee you're going to laugh. I laugh at myself all the time. It's funny. I'll be crying and laughing at the same time.
Exactly. clean.
It's so ridiculous what I was crying about to begin with.
But you know what's again funny, you know, deep, profound, and you know, cosmic joke is that, is what you're saying. If you allow yourself both, or whatever, wherever you are, you know, whatever you're experiencing or feeling, that you actually keep your vibrational frequency more expanded than trying to gloss it over with a everything's positive and wonderful, and also,
and it's not.
I know, and also. Sonia, isn't it funny? Who are we fooling? Because, you know, the universe is us, so it knows. It's like,
yeah, it's funny. It's so funny. It's like, who are you really fooling? How? That's like trying to get away from yourself.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're fooling no one. So I can't tell you this, some of the things that I've said at that moment, and just gotten really upset, and then I just take a deep breath and I thought, oh, okay, that feels really good. Okay, now let's look at this. Boy, is that ridiculous. So it's all part of it. And, you know, sometimes we get confused about what we define as peace and what we define as love, but it is the allowing. Hmm. And I think if we each really focus on ourselves and where we are and our own expansion, I think we would be surprised as to see the impact that it has and on what we term as external reality in terms of what's going on out there, as opposed to trying to do it the other way and paying attention to what the other person is doing. But it's really about you, and that's a whole other show. But it's the individual. It's how I am perceiving a lot of reality, how I'm perceiving reality, what's going on in me. That's making me interact with reality in the way that I'm interacting with it. If I'm very angry at reality, at what's going on out there, or what Michelle is doing, I'm just so irritated. I have to really stop and reassess, well, why am I so irritated with what Michelle is doing, even though it really is not immediately impacting me? What is that about?
What is it exactly?
So those are the things. It's a little tricky game.
Mm-hmm. It's a big little game. It's a big little game, yeah, that a lot have bought into, and then, you know, kind of, it's like the dessert tray. I keep telling people, you don't have to eat everything on there.
But you might have to.
Yeah, maybe for a while till we,
But you'll learn that that's not a good idea if you eat everything.
Now, Sonia, where did this encoding come from with, you know, maybe this with the, I don't know, the beliefs, you know, that you have, to, you know, believing a certain way, or it means something, or like you said earlier, the idea of peace. Is it just out of the mind of creation, somebody's spin on something, and then people begin to follow it?
Those are questions that are so much bigger in terms of trying to explain. But, yeah, we're dealing with programs. We're dealing with imprints that are coming from, generations. We're talking thousands of years of unfolding. Yes, imprints.
Yeah.
That are unfolding as they are. And all these things become genetic. And, they're, you know, many of these concepts, believe it or not, are passed down through the genes.
Yes.
That's why we look the way we look, or we are what we are. The thought gets infused in the genetics, because everything is thought. Anyway.
So on a cellular level, it gets encoded in the genes.
Absolutely. And so it just gets passed down from one to the other. And then you come into this life, and depending on the family you're born into, the society you're born into, you're going to get the upload, the programs of that family, that society, that culture, where we're born and where we live. Mm-hmm. All of those things so define us, especially when obviously you're not aware of the whole concept of programming and of imprints. Children are imprinted with, you know, those things that they see when they're little, which can help. They're making choices as grown-ups from imprints on relationships and various things that they don't even remember. That's how we get imprinted. We get imprinted by traumatic circumstances. Everything tends to stay in us and block aspects of us in our physical bodies, in our minds, and it makes it very difficult for people to move forward. But these programs, again, and imprints, it's an assortment. It's an assortment coming from many different avenues, but mainly through the genetics, the genes.
Mm-hmm. And then to the energetics. So you can clear.
Oh, yeah.
Right? To the
clear all of it.
Exactly.
You got to know.
Exactly. That's why, it's important for people to know that you're imprinted so that you can clear, to the original matrix. You don't need the, and beyond to the source.
That's correct. That's very true. Yes, all of it can be cleared, and that's what you're actually attempting to do. When you go through a lot of the experiences you go through, some of the challenges you go through, and you find patterns of things that are happening all the time, mm-hmm. that's something that is really trying to get cleared. It's trying to get your attention so you can get the aha moment as to, oh, my gosh, so this is what happened, and this is why I'm doing this, or this is when this started, or whatever the case may be. Those are things that are trying to clear, because there's many things encoded in us, and those are the things we make our decisions from. That's how we make our choices. We make our choices based on all of those things that are in us, and we use these things to define who we are. So we can absolutely clear them, but we must begin to pay attention. Don't sweep them under the rug and try to cover it over with, just a few thoughts. Travel through the experience, you don't have to also go looking for all what you call your issues. You're going to somebody to find all. You don't have to do that. When they show up, that's when you process them. When they show up, you go through them. You take that feeling. Why do I feel this way? Let me travel through it. And a lot of times we don't want to travel. We don't want to go and see what we really feel about something because it's kind of scary. You don't want to admit that that's how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the admitting that that's how I feel and taking the journey all the way through to what my fear is of the outcome. And then you can switch it around and go, but none of that is real anyway. None of it is real. Because the only thing that exists is this moment, and everything else is a speculation. It's all speculative. The only thing that you know of is right at this moment, and everything else in your mind is a speculation about the future and about the next moment and about tomorrow. And that's why you have the opportunity to create every next moment, because it's only a speculation until you infuse it into existence.
Mm. Beautifully put. Beautifully put. All that exists is what's right here, right now.
Yeah. Beautiful. And I have to learn that.
Yeah. Well,
I was speculating up a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't care for.
Yeah, exactly. It's just go back to the simple. Oh, gosh. Caller number 2, you're on the air with Awakenings and Sonia Barrett. I believe you're calling from computer. If you're just listening, that's fine, too. Okay, well.
Is that me?
It's
beautiful.
Hello?
I don't know what I'm hearing, but I'm just listening. Thank you.
You're just listening. Okay, wonderful. Glad you like it.
It is. It's wonderful. Thank you for the info. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thanks, Sonia.
And thank you for thanking me.
It's okay. Right to that.
It is about having fun. It's about having fun with it, and at the same time, we're not at all saying, we're just happy all the time. But I think the beauty is really recognizing that this is what this is. So when those times show up that are so challenging, they won't last that long because you are already, in your consciousness, you already have it that this really isn't real. It's not as it appears to be. And so you're able to shift through things a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sonia, do you feel that some of the let's say, the slower shifting or that those stuck states is because of the resistance?
Yes, you said the resistance from people wanting to...
Rather than moving forward or being adaptable or flexible, or like you were speaking of earlier, trying to say this doesn't happen, going into the, you know, everything's wonderful mode.
Oh, yes. Well, yes. And that was part of the training, though, because I think at one point, with the New Age movement, that was, I think, a big part of it at the time, the positive thinking. And I saw that happening. And, of course, you know, people still tend to have some of that going on still with them and feeling it's sort of like loving everybody. And in my book and in the author's summary, I talked about that. You hear that, you know, oh, you should love everyone. You should really, you know, love everybody. So there are people who want to be that and they want to go ahead and love everyone. But what I say is don't force yourself, don't lie to yourself that you feel this way, whatever love is to you, about this person when you know good and well you can't stand that person, you're irritated with that person. Process it. And allow it to yourself to go through that, and then when you're done with it, then if you really are done with it, one day you'll get up and it won't matter. Whatever that person was, it won't matter. And then but perhaps you will feel that balanced feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But don't force yourself to be what other people are saying. Forgiving, that's another thing. You know, I hear that, you know, you should forgive everyone. And certainly, I understand the concept, but what I saw was a lot of people trying to convince themselves that they've forgiven someone. And what I also realized, and in the book I mentioned that as well, when you understand, when you get it, you will realize that there is really nothing to forgive, and it's not about somebody else even asking you forgiveness. It's all of those things change, they go away, and with that, forgiveness, whatever the energy of forgiveness is, automatically occurs anyway. But if you have to try really hard to do something, you really need to look at it. If you have to try to love someone, or try hard to forgive someone, you have to examine that, because there's a reason why it's taking that much effort for you to be these certain things.
Mm-hmm. And don't you find it's all a natural process anyway,
mm-hmm.
right? Unless we're kind of, the ego personality is getting in the way with some of these I should and I have to and now this and now that, right?
It's the ego that gets in the way. And of course, you know, with a lot of, and I named the circumstance because I was in a situation myself. I was in an abusive marriage. And I know I've heard women who have gone through this who have said, he needs to apologize. He needs to apologize. Or she needs to apologize. And you know what I learned?
Mm.
They don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Why are they apologizing to you if they did what they did at that moment when they did it? It's all about you really rinsing that, moving through that experience, really moving through, progressing through that experience. And when you're done, and again, when you get that, oh my gosh, there, you don't feel that way. You're not concerned about that person apologizing to you. You're not stuck in that mode. And what is beautiful about it, it changes that person's life, because you know why? They no longer have to hold that position for you. See, as long as you're angry with that person, as long as you're feeling the way you do, their job, I don't care if they're in Timbuktu and you never see them for 10 years, they are still holding, they've got your power, and they're still holding that position for you. that positive and negative charge until you let go. When you let go, they don't have to hold that position anymore. And they also move forward into whatever their experience is going to be, because there's always balance. No matter what happens, there's always going to be some sort of balance. And we do what we do for each other on a more profound level. We do it out of love. Because if indeed I didn't have my ex-husband or this friend or that friend over here to have performed their roles in my life as part of my evolution, I probably wouldn't be having this conversation with you today. But all of that allowed me to expand. It was a, what should I call it? It contributed anyway to my evolution. It was propulsion. Mm-hmm. And what I saw underneath all of that was this profound love that we really do have for each other when we say, I'll come in and I'll be the character you need for this experience. Mm-hmm. I'll play this role for you. I'll play this role for you. And it's very hard sometimes for people to see some of that. But it is a role that we're all playing. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't be fair for me to say that I'm so phenomenal and I'm playing this role over here for you. And it's a happy role. You're the only one to accept it when it's a happy role.
That's right.
And then when somebody else is doing something, what we would call very malicious towards you, they're just evil. Well, they're playing a role too.
Yeah.
We're all characters. Yeah, we're all just playing roles, and we wear masks, and that's why when we come into this level of awareness, we are learning to remove those masks and be who we are. And when that happens, you learn more in terms of the individual, and it's not about judging the individual. As a matter of fact, everything in your life changes. The people that will come towards you change because you are resonating. It's a different frequency. It's a whole different vibration that character that you would have attracted 5, 10, 15 times no longer needs to come and play that role for you. So you find that those characters no longer show up in your space anymore.
Mm.
So it's amazing. It's all resonance. It's not whether it's something that's good or bad. It's
right.
What we resonate with. It's all about resonance, the vibration, the frequency.
So another well put. It's so true. You know, and I've been sharing with people to move off the idea of, you know, manifesting or the law of magnetic attraction, because that's going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
By what? Resonance.
Yeah,
right?
It is. That's all it is. It's just resonance. What's resonating with you at that moment? And some people are creating and bringing in stuff that seemed like a really good idea at the time, and then they're realizing that, oh, well, I'm not sure if this is really what I wanted. But it is all about resonance, and that's how you're making all your choices. You're making your choices, you know, based on what's resonating with you, the relationship you get into, and you wonder, gee, why do I keep getting, you know, women or men or friends that are doing this all the time? Well, they cannot come into your space unless there isn't some resonance that is a blend,
yeah.
Some sort of attraction. It has to be some sort of attraction there for it to show up in your space.
Mm-hmm.
So when it does, you just have to look at it and go, okay, well, what's the deal here? You know. So that.
And I like what you said about the processing. Just move through it. You know, let it move.
Yeah.
Let's energy. Let it. Think of it more as energy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sonia, can you touch a bit upon your awakening to memory, the remembering?
My awakening to memory. My awakening to memory, let's see. It just, as I said before, it was just the mere diligence and determination, and it happened, it's been a little while, but it happened, how did it happen? Doing... I guess meditation. I didn't know how to meditate.
But not formally. But now you have memory lectures. Is that
yes,
to reawaken the memory of those?
Right. And I call them memory lectures because it really is about people remembering, beings remembering, as opposed to me teaching you something. I'm just reminding you. It might be two or three words that I say that may trigger memory. So I'm reminding you so that you can reawaken your memory as opposed to me just programming you, infusing you with just more information. But the things that I'm giving in the lectures and the workshops are stimulating your own memory and thoughts. And so that's what the memory lectures are about. They're generally a full-day lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I did was more interactive, which people really enjoyed because they really got to connect with each other in groups of twos and threes, and people who had no idea that their intuition was that strong. I had them do some exercises which allowed them to see into the lives of other people. And everybody had to trust everybody, in the room and just let go. And so people were amazed at their abilities. And my reason for doing things like that is to get the individual to realize that their intuition is alive and kicking and that they are being guided if only they trust it, pay attention to it. So I do things like that to just stir you. So you're doing this yourself. I'm just helping, but you're doing it yourself. And I did show, it was the first time I'd ever done that, where I actually sat and did the meditation in the manner in which I had done it in the very beginning. As I learned in the very beginning. And I do it now on occasion, but it was done in a way to show how my hands just started moving. But I didn't understand what that was. But as the energy came in, because, your body can only contain so much of the vibration, of course, especially the newer you are at this, but your body can only contain so much of the vibration as we are entering higher vibratory realms and in acquiring information, at least from the meditation that I was doing. And so my hands moved, but then I got to understand that the reason why my hands would move into these patterns is because of the energy that was coming in. It was a way for it to flow through, through me. So that's basically what I do, and I'm doing another one that's different this time. Mm-hmm. It's called Moving Beyond the Frequency of Doubt, and that's a three-part lecture that I'm going to be doing, three Saturdays in a row. It's 2.5 hours each. I think it's the 11th and I don't know what the dates are, but it's three consecutive Saturdays.
Is that on your website?
It's on
spiritinform.com.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. People are going to be learning how to activate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Sonia, where is the workshop located?
It's Los Angeles. It's going to be in Los Angeles.
Okay.
We're still debating on the one location that I used for the last
one.
But it's Los Angeles.
But Los Angeles area. So I put that in the chat, but also those that are listening by phone, and as well as those that will be listening to the archive or iTunes, you can get information about Sonia Barrett's workshop at spiritinform.com. And also her book is The Holographic Canvas. The Fusing of Mind and Matter.
And you can also get it on the website or at Amazon Books. You can order the book at either place. It's Stepping Beyond the Frequency of Doubt, Removing Blocks and Imprints.
Sounds great.
Yeah, so this is what this is about. Oh, and I'm also speaking at Conspiracy Con Expo in Santa Clara, California, on June 6th, I think, and 7th.
Okay, and that's what the Conspiracy?
Conspiracy Con Expo. That's about the programming of humanity. There's many other things that I discussed that we'll leave that for another time. I go through mortality and all of those things.
It's good to dive in. Well, the more people are aware that a lot of this information is simply someone's belief or mental construct, and that you can believe it or not. You know?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Whatever it is you want to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you've always done. Everything that you wanted to do with your life, that's what you've done. This is what mm-hmm. you've got.
But I love though, Sonia, you're really bringing consciousness and awareness to this and allowing people to make empowered choices, you know, reminding them, being that the memory stick. We have it, you know, in indigenous cultures and tribal cultures and shamanism, you have a talking stick, but you have the memory stick, and
right.
you're reminding me of that, you know, that.
Right, absolutely.
You're that memory stick.
Absolutely. The guru, I'm just not for that. I'm really for people just coming into their own. Guruing someone or any of that, it's very disempowering to both parties, actually.
Yes. Well, you keep playing. And that's the thing. I think people are going to get that more and more, is because if you have that, the inner, the outer, you know, the student, the guru, the teacher, the message, we're just creating the polarity plane. We're reinforcing that and reinforcing the duality rather than seeing that you are that or you are all that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, that's it. You're owning you. That's all. Yeah. You're owning yourself.
Oof, I love that.
I'm gonna go ahead and own myself. It's not a responsibility, but I'm going to go ahead and do it.
Yeah. Let's all own ourselves. I love it. That's boy. Thank you, Sonia, for joining us on Awakening.
Thank you. It was fun. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Thank you.
It's been great, and we're going to be a memory stick also to remind people that just owning you. I love that. That was really wonderfully put. And those of you that are listening, you can get more information about Sonia Barrett by going to spiritinform.com. She has information there about her upcoming workshops, as well as her book, The Holographic Canvas, The Fusing of Mind and Matter. Thanks again, Sonia.
Thank you.
And thank you, listeners, for joining in. And part of the converging inside for the message, waiting to hear. You're the messenger. Find light at home. You can connect with me, Michelle Mache, Twitter, at Awakenings Tweet. Send me a message and let me know how you're understanding. You can also get the archive on iTunes, as well as RSS. Here to see you. Come on and shine your light in.